A day-long ceasefire in Sudan is in doubt after gunfire was heard shortly after the truce was set to begin. At least 185 people have been killed in a violent power struggle between the army and Sudan's largest paramilitary force, the Rapid Support Forces. Both sides are blaming each other for violating the truce, once again putting civilians in the crossfire. Al Jazeera's Hiba Morgan is in Khartoum.
More explosions in Sudan's capital, Khartoum, in the first minutes of what was supposed to be a ceasefire, but did not take effect as Sudan's army and most powerful paramilitary fight each other for the fourth day. Fighting continued at Khartoum airport, leaving a trail of destruction. Satellite pictures show widespread damage after days of heavy fighting. Flights have been suspended, preventing international mediators from arriving. 330 kilometers north of Khartoum, Merawi Air Base is still being contested by rival military forces. Sudan's army claimed on Tuesday that it has control of the facility. Army Chief General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan and his deputy, Mohamed Hamdan Daglo, who leads the paramilitary rapid support forces, had been in charge of the country since 2019. But they disagree on how to restore civilian rule. It's unclear who now has the upper hand, with fighting around the General Command military headquarters. The Rapid Support Forces released footage purporting to show its troops gaining ground with its soldiers at the Security Services building. But after the army took back control of state TV on Monday, it's called on the RSF to turn themselves in.
It is not in the interest of our homeland to have its own countrymen carrying arms against one another. Therefore, we call on them not to be part of this conspiracy, to lay down arms and turn themselves in, and then let's see if they will consider joining the ranks of Sudan's armed forces.
Khartoum and other cities are now battlefields, with tanks rolling through the streets and dead bodies strewn across pavements. Medical staff are warning they can't reach the injured because hospitals are under attack. There's not enough medicine, food or water. With power cuts, generators are operating at critical levels. People in Khartoum had hoped the ceasefire would hold. Many have reported missing relatives and want to find them but can't because of the continuous fighting. And others say they've not been able to bury their dead. But some are venturing out to find supplies.
We have bought 6 packs of noodles. 2 packs can feed 3 people for 1 meal. There is also salt and cake. The cake will expire tomorrow, so we can have it for dinner tonight.
There's a global push to find diplomatic resolve. The U.S. is urging warring parties to end hostilities.
I made calls to Generals Burhan and Hamedi, urging them to agree to a 24-hour ceasefire, to allow Sudanese to safely reunite with their families, and to obtain desperately needed relief supplies.
For now, it's unclear if the two generals are willing to heed these requests as their capital city continues its descent into a war zone. Hiba Morgan, Al Jazeera, Khartoum.
Some desperate people in Khartoum have risked going out to get essential supplies. They say they have no food or water and that panic is setting in.
The situation is very hard. That's not a secret to anyone. It was sudden. There's no electricity, no water. It is the fourth day in a row without water. We don't know what will happen in the coming days, but I hope for the best.
It's a great struggle. No water, no electricity. There's panic and fear. We haven't slept for 4 days. The children are terrified.
Sudan's health ministry says the violence has forced at least 16 hospitals to shut down. It says that number is likely to rise and is urging the warring sides to refrain from attacking health facilities. Some clinics have been bombed, while others have closed due to a lack of supplies. Sudan's doctors committee says they're struggling to treat the injured. Well, the ongoing fighting and supply shortages have forced hospitals in Khartoum to close. All patients, except those in the intensive care unit, have been evacuated from the capital's children's hospital.
With the escalation of violence and security tensions, the doctors had to evacuate all the cases, except the cases inside the intensive care units. There is a shortage in staff, medicine and oxygen. The hospital is witnessing a shortage in many things, even the doctors we have left.
Shortly after the ceasefire was supposed to come into force, the UN Under-Secretary General for Humanitarian Affairs, Martin Griffiths, tweeted, "The targeting of humanitarian workers and facilities continues in Sudan. We're receiving reports of attacks and sexual violence against aid workers. This is unacceptable and must stop. Ahmed Omar is the communications coordinator at the Norwegian Refugee Council. He's concerned about reports of attacks on aid workers and says that it's crucial for humanitarian access to be restored to help refugees.
We need this humanitarian access to these people because these people, they depend on us. There are a lot of emergencies happening, and NRC is supporting a lot of emergencies in these camps. And now it has been since April 15, now we stopped from working, we stopped from responding to our refugees. For example, here in Gadarif alone, we have about 41,500 Syrian refugees that we are serving. We need an urgent ceasefire, and if we have a ceasefire, of course, we will immediately start our work. We will go continue our work in the camps and to help the refugees that we are helping and the displaced that we are helping. But ceasefire, we learned that there are some ceasefire, for example, yesterday, but it was not fully ceasefire. And today also we heard about ceasefire, but it didn't happen. What happened actually is the opposite. We had now a lot of a big clash and big conflict in Khartoum North. We are so worried about that since we hear that there are three UN staff that got attacked in Darfur. This also might happen to us. We are all humanitarian workers, and this really is a real concern for us.